James Astill is Africa correspondent for The Guardian newspaper. He spoke with us from Bunia in eastern Congo.
Some Africa watchers fear the international response has been hopelessly inadequate, arguing that the French-led mission is too short and limited and that the internationally backed peace process could be under threat. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
Trying to draw attention to the humanitarian crisis in eastern Congo, the International Rescue Committee recently reported that the conflict has taken more lives than any other since World War II. The group's president and CEO, George Rupp, cited a mortality study that shows 3.3 million deaths over a five-year period, deaths blamed on violence and a collapse of the healthcare system.
That would be the equivalent of the number of deaths in the World Trade Center every single day for 3 years running. Now, it's stretched out a little longer than that, so it's not 3,000 every single day. But that's the magnitude of the disaster in a country that has a population about a fifth as large as the United States.
He and other Africa watchers who met recently at the Holocaust Museum compared the situation to Rwanda, complaining the international community stood by too long. They raise fears that the violence in eastern Congo could unravel a 1999 agreement that ended what was called Africa's World War, a conflict that involved various factions and six neighboring states, a war fueled by Congo's mineral riches. Analysts say despite the peace process, neighboring countries and Congolese militias are still slugging it out through proxies on a local level in the east of the country. Paul Nanasimo is with the International Human Rights Law Group.
The war is being fought through proxies, and all of the key Congolese belligerents have their dog in the fight in Ituri.
The latest fighting in the east began after Uganda pulled its troops out of the region, leaving behind well-armed militias and inflamed ethnic tensions between the Hema and Lendu people. The Bush administration never considered sending troops, but the U.S. alternative representative to the United Nations, Rich Williamson, insists the U.S. and the international community are responding, having learned the lesson from Rwanda.
In this case, when there were elements of savage activity, meandering mercenaries, troops with both weapons and the will to do terrible things, and the ethnic component of the Lendu and Hema, we did respond. The echoes of the genocide in Rwanda still ring in that area of the world, and we didn't want it to happen again.
Ambassador Williamson said the U.S. helped win U.N. backing for the French-led mission to Ituri and is still working on the overall peace process to set up a transitional government in Congo's capital, Kinshasa. Herbert Weiss, a longtime consultant with international organizations on Congo, says it was a mistake to focus on Kinshasa as the east of the country descended into anarchy.
We're not going to send any troops to impose a solution. Nor is the UN ever going to have enough troops to impose a solution. So what do? You've got to act as an intermediary in negotiation.
The idea of mediating local conflicts throughout eastern Congo was rejected by the State Department's director of the Office of Central African Affairs, Alan Eastham.
43 years after independence, it's about time for Congo to cut loose. And it's high time for Congolese to be empowered to take charge of that country. If our default setting is we have to get in there and do it for them, it'll never happen.
So the U.S. remains focused on the overall peace process, the big picture, while humanitarian groups argue for more urgent action and a more robust international force beyond one town in Ituri. One Clinton-era official who dealt with Africa warns the French deployment there is just window dressing for a house that is burning down. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.